This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome this morning to our lesson. We're certainly glad to have you in our audience. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website. You can even download it to your own computer and listen to it later or share it with others. Again, I have a weekly meditation on my website. You might be interested in that. And if you would like to be added to the email mailing list for that meditation, just let me know. And I will make sure that that is sent out to you when I send it out to my other friends usually on Mondays of each week. Now, again, if you need to contact me, you can contact me through the website or by regular mail. And if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, again, I'll need your address. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've come to Acts 24, where Paul has been taken to Caesarea, and he is now going to have to defend himself in front of a man by the name of Felix, who is the governor of Judea. Now, Felix apparently has his headquarters in Caesarea, not in Jerusalem. And Caesarea is north of Jerusalem, Mediterranean Sea. And we noted last time that the commander had very carefully made sure that Paul had reached Caesarea safely because he did not want to be responsible for losing a Roman citizen. He would have been held accountable for that, and we've seen how that Paul wisely used his Roman citizenship in order to preserve himself so that he could continue to preach the gospel. And we've noted that the Romans treated people differently that were Roman citizens than they did people who were just subject to them and were not Roman citizens. The Roman citizen had more rights than the others had, even though they were a part of the Roman kingdom, a part of the Roman system. But they were subject to the Romans, where a Roman citizen actually had the rights of a free citizen. And so Paul wisely used that right in order to preach to the Jews and in order to defend himself and to allow himself to escape some of the beatings that he would have gotten if he had not been a Roman citizen. So as a Roman citizen, he was treated, you might say, with kid gloves. If he had not been a Roman citizen, this whole story would have been a little different. So when we come to Acts 24, I'm going to read the whole thing, but there's some things you need to note in Acts 24. In this passage, we see a man that the Lord loved, and he sent him Paul, one of the foremost evangelists that the world has ever seen. He sent him Paul to preach to him. And we can see that Felix was really not interested in the gospel, and he represents one of the ways that many people respond to it. And the reason that he didn't want to respond to the gospel is he would have had to have admitted that his own life was in shambles and that he was living a rebellious life when it came to the holy standards of a holy God. And so in the passage we'll see he wanted a bribe, and we'll see that when Paul reasons with him of righteousness and temperance and some of the things that he himself should have been exhibiting to his own subjects, he trembled, and yet he never responded because he said he would like to respond when he had a convenient season, and it appears that that convenient season was never something that he found. So we're looking at his life, the fact that he was corrupt and wanted bribes, and we're looking at the fact that he was waiting for a convenient season that never came. Now, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus, if that's the way you say his name, Tertullus, began his accusations, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity, it is being brought to this nation by your foresight. Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, it's true that he was a ringleader of what they called the sect of the Nazarenes. And it is true that the gospel was turning the world upside down. And so it could be argued that he had been a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout all the world. So these things, to this point, while they were not crimes, they were simply the result of preaching the gospel, yet these things could have been argued as being true. But now they say he even tried to profane the temple. Now that was a bold-faced lie. They couldn't prove that. And we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. So they were all assenting to the fact that he had tried to profane the temple, and they were saying that that was extremely important to them, even though that was something that could not be proven. Now, at the same time, there may have been many of the Jews that really wouldn't have been able to testify one way or the other as to whether that was true. They maybe were taking the words of the leaders of the Pharisees, of the Jews, the Pharisees and those who had brought Paul down to face Felix, but at the same time, they're assenting to something that they don't know to be true, and you would think they would have had a conscience about that. Although, in fairness to them, we often believe in people, even though we don't know the facts for ourselves. We see that today in our own political system. You don't know what to believe because there's people that you think you can believe in, and you take their word for things, and they have taken the word of others for some of those things, and when you begin to check them out, you find out that probably it isn't the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So the followers may not have been as culpable as the leaders were, but the leaders knew that he had not profaned the temple. And so Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they accuse me." Now, obviously, these things should have been able to be proven, but in the Old Testament, it was in the mouth of two or three witnesses that things were supposed to be established. Here, they supposedly have the two or three witnesses, but those witnesses really don't know whether it's true. And it reminds us of the Lord's trial, does it not, where they called for false witnesses in order to try to convince Pilate that he was an imposter and claimed to be the Son of God when he was not. Of course, again, he was the Son of God, and they tried to prove that he was the King of the Jews, that he said he was the King of the Jews when he was not. And of course, to the Romans that would have been a real problem, but unfortunately it was true that the Lord was the King of the Jews. It's just that his kingdom was not now. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. In a sense, his kingdom was now, but his physical kingdom was not something that was going to be established at the time he came to die on the cross. And so they found false accusations against him as well. And you can see how many times people go to court not really wanting to know the truth, just wanting to use the courts to carry out their own revenge, to carry out their own prejudices, and to eliminate somebody that they really don't like. So he says, "But this I confess to you, according to the way that they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they have anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am judged by you this day. And remember, the Sadducees, being secular, did not accept the resurrection or spirits or really anything connected with the eternal side of the gospel, while the Pharisees accepted it all, and they were at odds one with another over whether there are spirits and angels and whether there's something beyond what we see with these eyes. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he's heard the gospel before, it appears, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. And Lysias, of course, is the Roman general that had saved Paul from the mob. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or to visit him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning his faith in Christ. And so it's clear that Felix really was not interested in the truth. It's clear also that what he really wanted, and we'll see that here in a minute, was a bribe. Now, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So Felix was trying to please the Jews, and Felix was trying to get money. And Felix, even though the Holy Spirit convicted him of his own sin, he said he would put this off until he had a convenient season. And this is the way it is when we preach the gospel to many people. There are reasons why they really can't afford to bow to the gospel. And I say that tongue in cheek, because if Felix had bowed to the gospel, he wouldn't have wanted a bribe, and he wouldn't have been able to make himself rich, and he would have had to admit that his own life needed some correction. So Felix heard the gospel. He knew about the resurrection. He knew these things were true. He still didn't bow to it. And we see people like that today. There's people who know that what we preach is true, and they still will not bow to the gospel, and in some cases they resist it. And I hope that's not you. We need to trust in Christ, because eternity is real, and eternity is long, and there will never be a more convenient season than today to do just that. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We pray for thy blessing upon the program, upon thy word, and if there's any amongst us that are unsaved, we trust that you'll speak to them, and that they will not wait for a convenient season, but will even today trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we commit ourselves into thy care, in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.